Open lines for you tonight now, right here on Coast to Coast. As you well know, most of you who have listened to this program over the years, Friday is our night for a prayer night also, where we have an unpublished list of people who have afflictions, ailments, and they're on this list. And this list comes to me via email from people who say, I'd like you to pray for so-and-so. They have this kind of illness. And so they're on that list. And what we've asked you to do on Friday during your own time is imagine the list and just say a little prayer. Well, tonight I'm going to ask you for prayers for past Coast to Coast guest, Dr. Robin Falkov, holistic doctor who since 2012 apparently has had colon cancer and it's getting worse. She's in a hospital in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And it's very touch and go. And I think doctors may have done as much as they can. The only thing left is you, your prayers. And a lot of people have emailed me saying, please help. And that's the most we can do. So prayers for Dr. Robin Falkov from healthfreedomrights.com. And let's hope for the best. And welcome back. Open lines here. Friday night into Saturday morning. It doesn't get any better, does it? Let's go to the phones. Let's go to first-time caller Ralph in Gainesville, Florida. Welcome to the program, Ralph. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Norrie.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
It's good. Good. Thanks.
All right. And I do say prayers every night for everyone.
Thank you.
And this world. But I have racked my brain. I actually, when Blockbusters was still happening, I was working in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and the guy told me that this movie was like a cult film, but he could get a hold of it, but Blockbuster closed down, not shortly.
What kind of movie was it? What was it?
It was a horror movie. I think it preceded the Night of the Living Dead. Because I first saw it in Philadelphia in the summer of 78, going into 79. I saw it, and it was on TV, black and white.
What was the name of it? You remember?
Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things.
Oh, that's an oldie.
You remember that?
1972 it came out.
Oh, really?
This was about a group of kids, six friends. Yeah. They were in some kind of theater group, and they found a corpse on an island, right?
Yeah. They went to the island in New York there for desolate people or people that didn't have anybody to claim their bodies.
Yep.
It backfired
on them. Everything went the wrong way.
Well, and they buried that guy early in the grave, and they estimated the time that he would be buried in that grave, and then they said, okay, you got it. And then so they arrived on the island with these unknowing part of the theatrical group, and they said, okay, you got to dig this grave up. This is your initiation. And so when he dug the grave up and he opened it up, I don't know if the guy was about to run out of oxygen or what, but he grabbed him around the throat, and it scared the pants off and everybody else.
And it was also a part comedy, too. It was a horror movie, but a comedy.
I didn't catch on.
You didn't get the laughing part, huh?
Well, no. I was happened to be living in Mr. Meyer's 200-year-old home in Philadelphia off of Wissahickon Drive there. No, that was a very creepy house. It was my older sister's house.
I bet if you go on Amazon, you might be able to find that movie somehow.
I have tried. I come up with blanks everywhere. And I've called in a lot of shows. Nobody seems to know it. I mean, there's a show that now steps on your show for the first hour. And on this local station that I listen to you on, and they haven't heard about it, and they're the ones that put out one of the major ghost hunting shows.
And the star of the show was a guy named Alan Ormsby. I'll always remember that because one of my best friends in school was Larry Ormsby. And
okay, and you're originally from St. Louis, correct?
Detroit, originally. But I go back and forth between St. Louis and L.A.
Because I was transferred to Lake Charles or whatever it's called, right north of St. Louis.
Oh, yeah, St. Charles.
Yeah, Lake Charles.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you.
You got it, my friend. That's it.
And thank you for acknowledging that. And I do listen to you all the time, Mr. Norrie.
Well, we appreciate that.
I listen to Mr. Bellholm.
Hey, how far are you from Fort Lauderdale?
Oh, I'm 4 hours north. I'm on Cedar Key.
You got to come out to our live July 27th. We've got our live show in Fort Lauderdale. I know it's 4 hour, drive for you, but come on out and see us.
You can have a live show in Fort Lauderdale.
Yep, July 27th. I'll be mentioning it in about 15 minutes, so just take some notes, okay?
All right, I will.
It'll be at the Miramar Cultural Center. We take your texts and tweets. Tom's got one for me. What do you got, Tom?
We do indeed. From Candy in Weslaco, Texas. I'm not a big horror fan, but I'm still curious. Do you think people like to get scared because it's an escape from problems of life?
Most likely, that's probably it.
Yeah.
People just have this need to just escape every once in a while. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that.
It's healthy.
Especially nowadays.
Yeah.
People are uptight. You got to get away. You need an outlet.
So. Very healthy to do that.
Yep, absolutely. Tom in the Bronx, welcome to the show, Thomas.
Yes. Hi, George.
And Lou Dan.
I'd like to say that when Italy was flat, before the mountains were there, they found the remnants of a dinosaur, the bones, that this type of dinosaur actually had like steel teeth. It was bigger than the Tyrannosaurus Rex, and it could take a Tyrannosaurus Rex apart if it wanted to, if it ever ran into one of them.
Was it a pterodactyl?
The pterodactyls fly, don't they?
I don't know if they fly. No, pterodactyls fly. Yeah, they're the other ones.
Yeah, now this one was a regular dinosaur, like just like you, like a Tyrannosaurus Rex, but this thing.
Velociraptor.
This thing was bigger, and in other words, it's probably a dinosaur that they didn't find all varieties of dinosaurs. You know, they found a lot of them, but. This one probably went way back and perished sometime, when the mountains started to rise in Italy.
Huh. Fascinating discovery.
Yeah. That's they had it on the news briefly there a few weeks ago. And I just always wondered about
it. I used to love dinosaurs when I was a kid. I had all the little models of them and everything else.
Yeah, I had said that too as a kid. I had some of them. I had a little dinosaur or scenery and all.
Did you go out for Halloween when you were a kid?
Yeah, I did, but it was cheap, a cheap, like pumpkin face or something like that.
That was your costume?
Yeah, that's nothing. It's like 10 cents you buy a mask, a little like that.
Didn't you hate it when somebody gave you a penny? Instead
no,
of candy?
I was glad when they gave you anything.
Good for you.
Yeah, I was glad for anything.
Good for you. I didn't like
that. A lot of times it was Tootsie Rolls.
Yeah.
It was...
I love the candy bars.
Yeah.
Those were the classics.
Stuff like that. But to me, I remember just getting Tootsie Rolls.
Did you stay out late?
No. Just an hour, maybe.
Did your parents check the candy to make sure nobody did anything with it?
No, not at that time.
In those days, they didn't have to worry about that.
Yeah, that's...
How come we have sickos now and we didn't then?
A lot of those stories have turned out to be frauds.
Well, I remember some of them were real, though. Some people put
some
stuff in the
real.
Candy.
Yeah, but a lot of them, most of them turned out to be fraudulent stories.
Myths.
It never happened.
Yeah, you got that right. Hey, Tom, thanks for the call. Next up, let's go to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. That's where we're going to be on July 27th. Les is with us. Les, hi there.
Hello.
Hey, you got to come out to our show. You're in Fort Lauderdale.
Well, it's not that far, but we'll see if I've got that time free.
Okay. That's a Saturday.
Yeah, I wanted to let you know that Soupy Sales is regularly on TV. They have his old programs on JLTV.
Really?
Yes.
He was a classic, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they have shows like Groucho Marx and, real old shows.
Do you think those talent would make it today?
Well, I guess people are watching it today. Otherwise, they wouldn't put it on regularly.
I don't know if they would. I don't know if, like Jack Benny, I don't think Jack Benny could make it on television today.
Mm.
Everything's so
demographic. I've seen him on, too.
Yeah.
You have to do some channel surfing and at different times, and you'll be surprised what you'll find on there.
Sure thing. So many channels now, too, aren't there?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Right. But I remember mostly radio beforehand, and we had this program called The Inner Sanctum with your host Raymond, and they used to have this creaky door that they opened up at the beginning of the program, and at the end of the program he closed the creaky door, and he says, good night and sleep tight.
That's pretty good. You did that well.
Yeah, in those days, you had to use a lot of imagination because you didn't have the pictures in front of you.
That's right. Radio at its best.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, you being from Detroit, one of the biggest programs on radio back then was from WXYZ Detroit.
The Lone Ranger.
Lone Ranger.
The Lone Ranger rides again.
Yeah. Hi-yo, Silver! Away!
Are you an old radio guy? You're pretty good.
I had a radio program when I was at college.
I knew it. I love it. Hey, thanks for the call.
Yeah, I listen almost every night.
I appreciate it. Really do. Hey, he's good. He had that radio voice and everything else. Let's go to Jim in Chicago, Illinois. Welcome to the show. Hey, Jimmy, go ahead.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Okay.
Well, it's interesting to start talking about old-time radio. I used to write for When Radio Was. It's, Carl Amari's old-time radio show.
You did that?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, I did
cool.
Some commercials, I wrote the scripts for Art Fleming. He was the voice.
Oh, sure. He was a classic.
Oh, God, I wish I had his pipes, man. I'll tell you.
Good old Art.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, before I go into what I was going to say, science fiction theater, there was a host, and his name was Truman Bradley, an old Chicago newsman.
And he would always be like on a couch or something, right?
Right. He had this very newsman. He was, he did his news spiel, but he was always introducing the segments of science fiction theater.
Yeah, always dressed up to the T. He had a suit on and a tie.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I remember him.
Back when the news people dressed that way.
God, that was like 57 or something, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think I was watching it back in the early 60s. I was a kid then.
God.
And it was black and white, watching it on the old Philco.
That's right.
Yeah.
Do you remember your first colored television set?
I do, actually. And it wasn't until, I think it must have been probably the early 70s. Before we got a color TV.
Ours was like green and yellow, and I remember my folks going, wow, look at this, and I'm going, it's green and yellow.
Yeah, it was great. Before that, they had this weird film that some people would put over their black and white TV, that the top of it was blue and the bottom was green, so everything at the top was blue, the bottom was green, regardless of what it was.
It's like a filter, like a piece of plastic filter or something.
Yeah. I just want to say, I've got sort of a funny UFO story.
All right. We've got a couple minutes. Go ahead.
Okay. I was, in the early 70s, right around 73 or so, I was working moving furniture. I was a kid about 17 years old, moving furniture up and down the East Coast with my brother-in-law. And we were going through an area called Alligator Alley. Are you familiar with that?
I've heard of it.
Roadway?
I've heard of it, yeah.
It cuts across southern Florida, and there's nothing out there. At least then there wasn't. It was just swamp with a road going through it. It was really long. And it was the middle of the day, high noon, and we're driving along there, and I just was looking out over the swamp, and I said, this would be a great place to see a UFO. And he started ranting, people that see those are nuts. And, he just started going off and, blah, blah, blah. And talk about synchronicity. I looked out the passenger side. I was on the passenger side. I look out over the swamp, and I kid you not, George, I swear on a stack of Bibles, here comes two large silver discs.
Ooh.
About maybe 100 feet off the swamp. They're each one's probably about maybe 75 to 100 feet in diameter, one behind the other. And I said, you know, he's still ranting and ranting and ranting. I see these things coming, and I said, okay, Jerry, what do you think of this? And he looks over, sees these things coming, hits the brakes on the truck, and we start coming to a stop. These things crossed probably about maybe 20 feet off the roadway, right in front of us, within, I'd say, within 50 yards in front of the truck. I mean, they're right there. No lights, no nothing, just two silver discs with a bulge in the middle in each one. And they're traveling maybe, you know, like maybe 100 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So you could see them, no problem.
Right.
Traffic on the other side of the road coming toward us, they all came to a stop.
Everybody saw it.
Stop.
Everyone saw it.
Everybody saw it. We're all, and so these things take off across the swamp to our left, and then they just accelerated like crazy and just whoop, they were gone. Well, my brother-in-law is looking out the window and slowly starts turning his head back toward me. His mouth was hanging wide open. His eyes were as big as those saucers. And he starts looking back toward me, and I had this grin on my face. I mean, I just see two UFOs, and I couldn't, I mean, I just started to laugh because here he had just been ranting about how we're all nuts. And he turns and looks at me, and he snaps out of it, and he says, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to ever hear about this again. I just busted out laughing. And ever so often, I would throw a dig at him about that. He just, shut up. I don't want to hear about it. Shut up.
He became a believer reluctantly, right?
Oh, absolutely. And the funny thing was, you could hear over the CB, because this was way before cell phones, and of course, nobody had cameras, but you could hear over the CB for, like, miles around. People were like, hey, what was that? Hey, did you see those things? So everybody saw, people were getting out of their cars in the middle of Alligator Alley watching these things go by. And it was one of the most incredible experiences of my life.
And obviously, they weren't of this planet.
Oh, no way. These, I used to live on an Air Force base with my brother. He was in the Strategic Air Command. And it just, these things were so close, so large and so clear, perfectly smooth, shiny silver, 12 noon. I mean, this wasn't lights in the sky in the middle of the night. These things zipped by. And I don't know if anybody ever reported them or not because, you know, we didn't have cell phones and, you know, we were on the road, so we didn't really pick up, you know, too much as far as news goes. But, yeah, it was. But just the look on his face going,
priceless.
Going from a total skeptic to a total believer in like a second.
I love it. Jim, thanks for that. We're going to come back in a moment and take more open line calls for you this Friday night into Saturday morning. So those of you on hold, we'll get to you. Those of you making the call, just keep on ringing. Tom will pick it up as soon as he can right here on Coast to Coast AM. Good old Elvis. And I do a little Elvis song every once in a while at some of our live events. Then the next one will be after Everett, of course, which is sold out. Columbus, Ohio, Saturday, May 11th at the Lincoln Theater. Gorgeous theater, by the way. Old-time theater that they've remodeled tremendously. But that's Saturday, May 11th, if you're in Cleveland, Windsor, Ontario, Detroit, Columbus, just Indiana, just come from all over the place. Let's fill this place up. May 11th, get the tickets at events at coasttocoastam.com or at the revolving carousel pictures. You'll see the last button. Click that. Or you can call the Kappa Ticket Center at the Lincoln Theater at 614-469-0939. That's 614-469-0939. Then, July 27th, we're going to Miramar at the Miramar Cultural Center in the Fort Lauderdale, Miami area for another show.
Saturday, July 27th. That's it, Miramar Cultural Center. It's in the Miramar, Fort Lauderdale, and Miami, Florida area. So if you're around there, come on down. It's radio to stage. We call it the Grand Experience. So we're going to have three guests. We're going to start out with psychic medium and spiritual counselor Chip Coffee. Then we're going to go into an anomaly hunter. His name is Billy Carson. You probably know him from this show, and he'll talk about evidence of past and present lives on Earth. And we'll end the night with motivational speaker Jim Paris. He'll talk about overcoming adversity and how to pray for a financial miracle. Live band, audience participation, it is all there, George. And we have the meet and greet after. And we talk to everybody, shake all hands. This is going to be a wonderful event down there. There's three ways you can get tickets. You can go to MiramarCulturalCenter.org, or you can dial 800-745-3000. Or, of course, if you live down there, you can visit the box office in person. I think you're singing an Elvis song, aren't you?
I'm pretty sure I am, and you're doing a special tribute to a dear guest of ours who passed on, who's from that area, too, aren't you?
We are. Yeah, it's...
You want to mention his name, Andre?
Yeah, I just get really...
I know, it's emotional for you.
It's very sad. Andre Aguilachon, such a great guy, and... When I had called him months ago and we talked about this show, he was so excited,
oh my
George.
God. He was part of the band.
He is. Yeah, he's a musician.
And
he's
Andre, of course, wrote the book Thieves in the Temple about the Federal Reserve. He would be a regular news guest on our show talking about breaking economic events.
He'd say, Tom, I can't wait to come down there. I mean, calling months in advance. I want to get this right, blah, blah, blah. And just a wonderful guy. And so we are going to do a tribute to him.
He had a heart attack, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And his wife is just wonderful. And
his brother had died like a month before that.
Like about a month, yes. Yeah, so hard times down there. You know, folks, come on out. We're going to have a great time, and we will do a tribute to Andre.
I love it. All right, thanks, Tom. And welcome back to Coast. Nothing like a Friday night and a Saturday morning series of open lines just to kind of chill for the rest of the week. Let's go to the phones. Bill in Phelan, California, west of the Rockies. Thanks for holding, Bill.
Hey, good evening, George.
Hi.
I was hoping to get on with Mr. Lobo because I've got a few stories here which would be of interest to him. Hopefully he's still listening.
He sure is. So go ahead. We'd love
Excellent.
To hear him.
Well, he mentioned Roland in Philadelphia, the horror show host who became Zachary up in New York. And I grew up watching him in the late 50s as a kid, and he's one of the things that inspired me to kind of get into making 8mm films, monster and science fiction films, and experimenting with special effects makeup. And we had the Dick Smith Monster Makeup book back then, which was kind of a guidebook to show you how to do all of the effects and everything. And, of course, Dick Smith is the one who did The Exorcist with Linda Blair. And eventually, doing this work, I came to the notice of John Chambers, the man who did the original Planet of the Apes makeup, and he instructed me and taught me, and then I wound up working on the children's show in Philadelphia on the same very network and station where Roland used to perform.
How cool.
And Mr. Lobo was talking about the association between children's shows like Soupy Sales and the old horror hosts. Well, Gene London in Philadelphia, who had the Gene London Show, which was a story show, and he would do cartoons for the kids in the morning 5 days a week. He also had a weekend show that was a scripted show called Cartoon Corner's General Store, where he did things almost like a horror host. He played a storekeeper who got paid by a bad boss 3.5 cents a week, and that's something that little children would understand. They appreciated that. And right next door to the general store was a haunted house, almost like the Disney Haunted Mansion, and a lot of creepy stories would take place there. And when I was working with Gene, we even did a Planet of the Apes story where the apes crashed at Quigley Mansion, which was the haunted house. So we had this crossover just exactly like Mr. Lobo was talking about. And Gene London was very, very popular. He even exchanged programs with Dusty's Treehouse, another children's show in California. They did an exchange program one year where CBS local stations traded all of these shows back and forth. Well, eventually I wound up coming out to California, and I wound up working in the actual Planet of the Apes on the television series, and I also promoted it under license to 20th Century Fox, and I used to tour the country doing the apes. I was the official double voice and character double for Roddy McDowall's Cornelius. And a stunt woman I worked with, Paula Crist, doubled for Kim Hunter, who played Zira, the female chimp in the movie.
Give us an ape line, Bill.
I'll give you one, the most famous one. He reads the sacred scrolls near the end of the movie on the beach. Beware the beast man, for he is the devil's pawn. Alone among God's primates, he kills for sport, or lust, or greed. Yea, he will murder his brother to possess his brother's land. Let him not breed in great numbers, for he will make a desert of his home and yours. Shun him, drive him back into his jungle lair, for he is the harbinger of death.
I love that. I remember that, too.
Yes, and Zaius, of course, Dr. Zaius Maurice Evans would say, I found nothing in the cave to alter that conception of man, and I still live by its injunction.
Perfect. That was you.
I'm sorry?
That was you.
That was me. I also do the teenage chimp. When they asked Lucius, are you all right? He answered, they took me by surprise, sneaked up on me when I was feeding the horses. What's happened to honor? I got off two rounds to warn you.
I love that.
Yeah, I'm a voice artist also.
Good for you.
All of this going back to the horror hosts on television, that's what inspired me.
Good for you. Keep it up. Keep doing it.
One more thing, George, real quick.
Sure.
I want to bring the story full circle. When I came to California and did all the Planet of the Apes promotions and all through the mid-70s, and Mr. Lobo probably knows this, I became known for touring the country with the Planet of the Apes shows, custom car shows, supermarket openings, science fiction conventions, all of that. I wound up working with Los Angeles horror host Larry Vincent, who played Seymour.
Uh-huh.
He was sort of a ghoulish undertaker kind of a guy. And I used to do personal appearances in children's hospitals with Larry Seymour. So I went from being inspired by horror hosts to working with them.
I love it. Were you in costume when you would go out on these events?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It had to be. Everybody wanted to see it. People have to remember one thing. Planet of the Apes was the big thing before Star Wars came out, which overshadowed everything.
My classic was that last scene with Charlton Heston, right at the end.
Yes.
That was a classic.
You maniacs! You blew it up! God damn you! God damn you all to hell!
Now you got that right. Can't say that on the radio, though. Simple as that. All right, Tom, what do you have for us?
All right, Darren in Massachusetts. I was wondering what you think of our law and court systems and how you think we can improve them.
All right. Well, gosh, that's a good question. Our law and our court systems.
It's a good one.
Do you think there's anything wrong with our court system now?
I don't think there's anything wrong with them, but there have been cases where, you know, people have gone to jail who are innocent.
Well, yeah, but that's because we're humans and we're subject to mistakes. I've questioned. I used to be a vehement supporter of the death penalty. I think if you take a death, you should be given the death penalty. But I've changed my mind a little bit because we have killed people who were innocent. I think now, if we're going to give people the death penalty, we must have incredible proof, like DNA, everything, beyond a shadow of a doubt, way beyond the conviction, to prove that they indeed were the ones there. Because, there could be nothing worse than killing an innocent person.
Assuming that we could do that, would you be for an eye for an eye kind of law?
I always had been, but I changed a little bit.
So what does a person who, say, robs a liquor store get?
I don't think they should get death, and they don't.
Should they get...
But if they killed somebody in the act of doing that, then they should.
Should they get their hand chopped off because they hold a gun?
Well, they do that in the Middle East, don't they?
Yeah.
You don't think that's too extreme?
No.
Cut a hand off, cut a finger off, cut a foot off?
What do you do, though, if somebody willingly picks up a gun to harm another human being?
Aren't we too barbaric if we do stuff like that?
Yeah, that's another school of thought, absolutely.
You know.
Hey, what's your best imitation?
Me?
Yeah, I was just thinking of the guy.
I do a whole bunch of them.
What's your favorite and what's your best?
Well, I'm not going to do one now, but we'll do, maybe one night we'll do a show for an hour.
That'd be great.
For an hour on imitations. And you know what I'd like to do one day, too? I have people call in and do karaoke. That's kind of tacky.
Actually,
but for 1 hour. Not the whole show.
Oh, our ears.
Something like, including you. I've never heard you sing, ever.
There's one karaoke song. I really can't sing, but there's one karaoke song I can nail.
What's the name of that song?
Not telling.
What's the group that plays it?
Not telling.
Come on.
Charlie, that's all I'll give you.
Charlie what?
Okay, it's the biggest hit by Charlie Daniels Band.
That's like a country western song, right?
Could be.
What would it be?
Oh, it's the biggest hit. You really don't know?
I'm not into country western that much.
Look up Charlie Daniels Band.
Well, I know Charlie Daniels, but you're going to make me guess the song?
I am.
All right. Cornelius is with us. Speaking of singing, hello there, Mr. Louisiana.
Hey, George, I know the answer to that one.
What is
Never went down to Georgia.
Yep, Tommy's holding his thumb up. You're right. I'd like to hear him sing that.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Let him sing it on the air. I'd love to hear it.
We'll get the music for it, and we'll have him sing it.
Hey, George, I got to salute you. That last guy, he did those, and he mentioned Cornelius. They used to tease me all the time when that show was on, Planet of the Apes. And he did Roddy McDowell and Charlton Heston and those other characters. I mean, that guy, y'all need to put him on.
He's good. He's good. Had to blip him right at the end, but he didn't mean to do that, but we had to.
You off the air.
I have my standards.
Yes, sir. And they're good standards. What I wanted to tell everybody, if they didn't know, it's Mardi Gras season down here in Louisiana, and the big shows are in Lafayette, Louisiana, and New Orleans, Monday and Tuesday, the big band.
Already? Mardi Gras already?
Yeah. Yeah, it's Fat Tuesday.
That's right. It's coming up.
And what I wanted to say is we had our classic car parade yesterday, which was Friday, and then today we've got our children's parade, and if it's not raining Sunday, we'll have an adult parade. But we don't drink. They don't, you know, the beads when they throw them up, when they do something, and we don't have all that. But New Orleans and Lafayette, they pretty much have all that where you throw the beads and you see something. But we have this saying, laissez les bon temps rouler, let the good times roll.
That's French, isn't it? Or is that Cajun?
It's French.
Tommy used to love, he's been to a couple Mardi Gras.
Well, you know what, George? Now, you've never been. That's one.
I have never been to I've been to New Orleans quite a bit. Yes, I was there for the Navy. Did I tell you I lost a $5 bet to a little kid who came up to me and made a bet when I was in the Navy? Did I ever tell you that story?
No, let's hear the story.
Little kid came up to me in front of my unit. We're all outside in our Navy outfits. And he said, "Sir, I'll bet you $5 I know where you got those shoes." And I said, "I could barely remember where I got these shoes. How is this kid going to know?" And I said, "I'll make the bet." And he says, "Now you give the $5 to your buddy over here, and he can hold mine too." So, you know, my friend's holding 10 bucks. And he says, "You got those shoes on Bourbon Street right now." I had to give it to him. I had to give him the money. He won. He was right. See, I was thinking he knew where I bought the shoes.
Right. I got you, Joe. But they've got a lot of tricksters down there and voodoo and everything else. But, George, like I said, bring the whole team down there to New Orleans for Mardi Gras. That's your bucket list. You've got to come to New Orleans for Mardi Gras one time before you leave this world.
Isn't that where I met you at the Oswald concert event?
Yeah, I drove 400 miles. So that guy that said he was 400 miles away, you're worth the drive. You and Tommy both are worth the drive.
You got it. All right, my friend. Thanks, Cornelius. Take care of yourself. We've got time for maybe one more quick one before the break, and then we'll come back for more. Alan in Auburn, California. Go ahead, Al.
Hello, George. What a great pleasure to talk to you. Sorry, Mr. Lobo. I'll make this quick, and I don't have much time.
Yeah, I've got just a minute. But if you go over, we'll hold you for the top of the hour. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Well, I saw a movie yesterday that I don't know if you're a huge movie fan, but if you are, even if you're not, you should go see this. It's called Arctic.
Arctic.
It stars Mads Mikkelsen. Do you know who that is?
No.
Do you remember Casino Royale with Daniel Craig?
I sure do.
Well, he was at Le Chiffre.
Uh-huh. Okay.
In that movie. He is a fantastic.
He's a good actor.
Fantastic. And in this movie, he plays in the Arctic wilderness, and there's probably 20 words of dialogue or less in the entire movie, but he should get an Academy Award. It was one of the most riveting films I've ever seen. And
was it scary?
Yeah, it had elements of terror, and there's a polar bear in it that makes for a pretty unpleasant.
Ooh, I hate to see that. Okay, I'll look at Arctic. I'll look that up. I do love movies at home during the leisure of your moment, where you're just comfortable there and you're doing your thing. We're going to come back more open lines in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.